Hello and welcome to The Confident Mother. This is the online conference for ambitious women about confidently balancing work and life. Now, for me, when we talk about balancing work and life, I like to think of it as a confidence circle. And for me, there are five elements: contribution, which is about understanding what's unique about you, your contribution to the world, if you like. Wellness, your physical, mental and emotional wellness and taking care of that. Work, being valued in your work, valuing the work that you do, and that's very much the area that we're going to be focusing on today when I talk to Katie Bailey in a couple of moments. And then, of course, the confident mother, one of those elements has got to be about family. So the relationship you have with your children, if you don't have children, perhaps a relationship with your partner, or perhaps your relationship with the wider family, perhaps in your running community or in your church. Then, of course, finally for me, one of the elements has got to be about the feminine. So that's about celebrating, relishing, loving being a woman and not just a mother. And also perhaps acknowledging and accepting some of the limitations or challenges that that might bring. My name is Sherry Bevan. I'm your host and the founder of The Confident Mother. I was previously global head of IT service for a big city law firm, but I've been running my own business now as author, coach and speaker since 2012, and I help ambitious women get that career confidence. I have been on Sky News a few times. I've been on BBC Radio Kent. If you're looking at the video version of this, then you'll see that I've got two cities there, London and Chicago. I spent a lot of time working based in Chicago, but I was physically based in London. And so I did I wouldn't say a regular commute, it wasn't a daily commute, but I did go back and forth to Chicago. If you ever get the chance to visit Chicago, it's an amazing, beautiful city. And then for my wellness, I like to run, especially cross-country running. And Katie today, I know, is based down in Sussex, so I do love running down on the Sussex, on the South Downs. There's nothing more invigorating than being out in nature and being out in the open. And then finally, there's a picture of my book that was published 18 months ago, The Confident Mother. So a very brief reminder of what you get when you register. If this is the first interview that you've listened into, a very warm welcome. You've missed loads, but you can go back and catch up. All of the interviews, including today, are on catch up for 48 hours. And if you want to grab a copy of the box set and get all of the interviews and dip in whenever you need fresh inspiration, new ideas, then you can do that at the website. If you go to theconfidentmother.co.uk resources. When you register, you get a workbook. I really do encourage you to work your way through this workbook. Take time out, 15, 20 minutes. The questions are designed to get you thinking about your work-life balance, what's working really well, what's not, and perhaps what you'd like instead, what you can do differently. And then finally, automatically, when you register for the conference before the end of 27th of January, then you will be entered into the prize draw to win a place on Career Confidence. So that's my 6-week online course to help you get confident that your career is right for you, to get clear on your career goals and how you're going to achieve, and if you just want to balance your work, your career with your family and life in a more confident way. So I am dog sitting at the moment. A lot of you know that I do dog sit on a regular basis, and I can hear my dog that I'm looking after, Oscar, whining in the background. So if you do hear funny noises, that will be Oscar. So today we're going to be talking to Katie Bailey, who's Professor of Management at Sussex University. And we're going to be understanding how finding the meaning in your work can drive your motivation and fulfillment. So Katie will be exploring how we all crave that meaningful work, but often we can't see the meaning in what we do. And that might be because we're in the wrong job, something gets in the way, or because we're not looking for meaning in the right place. Katie's Professor of Management at the University of Sussex, and she's an expert in work meaningfulness. So today she's going to share her insights into the importance of meaningful work, surprising ways that people find meaning, and what it is that employers and managers can do that makes work seem meaningless, and therefore, I guess, the opposite, what makes work seem meaningful. So Katie, a very warm welcome to you today.
Hello, Sherry. Thank you very much indeed. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Great. So I guess let's just start, I guess, a bit about your background. So how did you get to be Professor of Management?
Well, that was quite interesting. I did a first degree in languages many, many years ago. I worked for a few years as a secretary, for various reasons, but I think mainly because I was madly in love with a German man at the time, and I decided that if I trained as a secretary, I could get a job in Germany. Needless to say that neither the job nor the relationship worked out, and I decided I wanted to do a PhD. So I went to London Business School and did a PhD on secretarial work. Actually, I compared women working as secretaries in England, France and Germany. And from there, I got a research job at London Business School and then moved into a lecturing role, first at Kingston, where I was promoted to professor in 2003. Then I went to the University of Kent, and now I'm at the University of Sussex.
Fabulous. Wow. I love the thought of a PhD on secretarial work. That sounds absolutely brilliant, because I know often that is a role where secretaries feel somewhat undervalued.
Well, yes, I think that's absolutely right. I think I did a very interesting and thorough training program to be a secretary, and I learned some very high-level skills. And certainly this is obviously going back a very long time now, but my experiences of being a secretary didn't match up at all with what I'd been taught on my course and what I was expecting. And I think that really sparked an interest in me in understanding what that was all about, why that was. So hence wanting to do some research on the subject. I mean, it was a challenging move at the time. I'd done a degree in French, which was mainly literature, and to move from that into a social science subject, sort of management, where I knew absolutely nothing about it and was starting from scratch, was a real challenge. And I think I found out the other students were taking bets on how long I'd last on the program, and apparently the odds on favorite was I'd last for 3 months before I gave up. But
my goodness,
I got through it and really enjoyed it, and been doing research ever since.
Wow, that's interesting, because actually when I finished my A-levels, I had stuff going on in my life that I talk about in my book, actually, and didn't get round to applying for university because I had my other more kind of personal stuff going on. So I ended up doing a two-year secretarial course with French and German, actually, or French and Spanish. I can't remember what languages I did now. French and Spanish. And I hated being a secretary. I really hated it. But you're so right, because, I studied for 2 years, very high level of skill set when I came out of it. And the work that I was given when I first started was so dull and mundane and boring. And I felt that I was smarter than the people I was working for.
Well, I think a lot of women end up in that situation, actually, and it can be a bit dispiriting. I think if you have trained to be a secretary, there are some fantastic jobs out there. There's no doubt about that. But it wasn't my experience, and it wasn't the experience of a lot of people that I talked to when I did my research. Mm. I actually did some more research just a few years ago. Actually, we did a survey of women working as secretaries in the UK just to see whether really if anything had changed. And we found that it's still very difficult for women who go into secretarial work to progress out of that and to get a job in the mainstream of the organisation. But there is still a need for secretarial work, and there are many people who get fabulous jobs and really enjoy it, and where they're able to actually use their skills. So yes, so it was an interesting start to an academic career.
And I think very often, I mean, I've come from a law firm background, is where I spent a lot of my working career, and I know our legal secretaries, very often there's a lack of career path for them, and I think that's one of the struggles, perhaps, or one of the frustrations, perhaps, for those secretaries. But let's move on to talk about meaningful work, because I'm sure, if there are secretaries listening, perhaps it's about finding that meaningfulness in their work. So what do we mean by work that is meaningful or not meaningful? What do you mean, well, I guess, is the question.
Well, I think that goes right to the heart of what it's all about, really. So meaningful work is essentially, it has to meet two main criteria. The first is that it has to be meaningful in the objective sense. So in other words, if you've been trafficked into your work, or you're not being paid properly, you've got very poor conditions of work, at an objective level, that can't really be meaningful work, because in one way or another, you're being exploited. So that's the first condition. The second condition is that it has to be subjectively meaningful to you. So what is meaningful to me at work may well not be the same as what's meaningful to you. It's very, very individual, and it's very personal as well. So there's an objective aspect to it, but also the subjective aspect. And we find that people's idea of what's meaningful really tends to coalesce around this sense of doing some good, contributing to the world, or making a difference for people in some way.
Right, okay. And I guess, you know, if your work isn't meaningful in the objective sense, then that's immediately going to lead to frustration and lack of motivation, because nobody wants to work in an environment that's not conducive to being happy at work or not being paid or valued enough.
Well, absolutely. I think that is the real baseline, isn't it, for anybody to have a decent job where they're being treated appropriately. And if you haven't got that, obviously, as you quite rightly say, the results are going to be very, very negative for that person, and ultimately for the organisation as well. It's not in anybody's interest as an employer to be treating your employees badly. At some point, it will come back to haunt you.
Mm. Yeah. So when we talk about meaningful in a subjective sense, obviously that, like you say, that's very individual. Somebody who's like a nurse, for example, lots of us can see how that could be viewed as meaningful work, but it might not be for all nurses. But can any job be meaningful?
Well, yes, is the short answer to that. So the research that we did I've written a paper about fairly recently, was published in the Sloan Management Review. And for that paper, we interviewed people in a whole range of different jobs. So we talked to soldiers, we talked to people working in shops, we talked to nurses, we talked to people working as clergymen, we talked to solicitors, artists and actors. We talked to street sweepers and stonemasons. So we talked to people in a wide range of different jobs, and we asked them whether they found their work meaningful and what that felt like, what the characteristics of meaningful work were for them. And we had kind of expected that we would find people, maybe, for example, the nurses and the clergymen, they would talk a lot about meaningfulness, and that maybe some people in the other jobs would maybe struggle a bit more to talk about it. But actually what we found was that everybody in all of their jobs, almost without exception, were able to talk about aspects of their work that they found meaningful. So I think the answer is that any job can be meaningful, but no job can be meaningful all the time.
Right. That makes sense. So no job can be meaningful all the time, because there are going to be aspects of the work that you don't enjoy or that aren't giving you what your idea of meaningfulness.
Well, exactly, that's right. I think what we found when we were talking to people, and we asked them to give us time, you know, examples of times when they found their work meaningful or meaningless. And it was fairly clear that in any job, people's experience of meaningfulness sort of increases and decreases depending on what's going on, depending on the particular tasks that they're doing. Mm. So, for example, we talked to nurses, and they talked a lot about the aspects of their work that were meaningful. And in particular, they talked about times when they were able to nurse patients who were very, very sick, and they were able to help them and support their families. And they talked about that as being the aspect of their work that they found meaningful. But obviously, with any job, you've got the bureaucracy and the paperwork and the aspects of the job that is perhaps just not so interesting.
Yes.
And they talked about times when they perhaps weren't listened to by their managers, as being times when they found their work a bit pointless and meaningless. And so I think there are these ebbs and flows in the sense of meaningfulness as we go through the working day. And I think it's possibly not even achievable for anybody to find their work constantly meaningful. The clergy were the same. We talked to women who were working as priests as well as male priests. And it was clear talking to them that they shared very similar frustrations. Being able to help people was a great source of meaningfulness to them, real sense of contribution. But on the other hand, there seems to be a surprising amount of bureaucracy, meetings, and perhaps red tape within the church setting that those of us who don't work there perhaps wouldn't necessarily think about. Again, source of meaninglessness, taking people away from what they feel they should be doing and what they find most rewarding.
And of course, for some people, that paperwork and looking after the detail might actually be what gives them meaning in their work and feels meaningful for them, because some for some people that's pleasurable.
Well, exactly, yes. As you said, it's very subjective what we find meaningful. I have to say that we didn't actually talk to anybody who found the paperwork what a source of meaningfulness.
I've got somebody in mind. I know she loves making sure everything's done just right and that all the details are there and all the spreadsheet looks nice and neat. Maybe
well,
she's
exactly.
unique.
I'm sure there are people, and I can think of people myself who I know who similarly really enjoy that aspect of work as well. And if that's where you find your meaningfulness, I think it's important to try and find a job where you can spend at least some of your time doing these tasks that you do find more meaningful than others. I think you mentioned in your introduction that often women are sort of will sacrifice certain aspects of their work in order to maybe work closer to home and so on, because it's more practical when they're juggling other commitments. But if you can find a way to have aspects of your work that are meaningful, even if your whole job isn't meaningful to you, then it's going to make a real difference in terms of how you feel.
Yes, absolutely. And when you conducted these interviews and the research, what were the sort of characteristics that people shared? So, you know, how did they know when their work was being meaningful or feeling meaningful?
Well, I think there were certain features, as you say, that were common and were shared across people in terms of finding their work meaningful. And I think what really leapt out at us was the fact that nobody...
Oh, I've lost you there, Katie.
Okay. So what we found was that nobody said to us, do you know what, I went to work today and I did a really bad job, but I found it very meaningful. I think the first thing that was common across what everybody said was that people need to feel that they've done a good job and they've worked to the best of their ability in order to find their work meaningful. So in other words, you can't do something in a half-hearted way and find it meaningful. I think people, when they're finding their work meaningful, they're really throwing themselves into it and doing their very best.
So a sense of pride almost.
Absolutely, yes. It's very much about how you see yourself, your personal identity, a sense of achievement and accomplishment. Very important to a feeling of meaningfulness. So that was the first thing. I think the second thing that was very widespread was this need to feel that you're contributing to something beyond just yourself. It's not, although you're doing work to the best of your ability and you're achieving, it's not just about helping yourself, it's about helping other people or doing something for the environment.
Right.
So for example, we talked to women who were working as shop assistants in a large retail store. And they talked about the meaningful aspects of their work being very much around helping customers. Mm. So in some cases, they would have elderly customers who came into the shop almost every day and wanting a chat and someone to talk to. And they got to know them. And so there was that sense of community, a sense of helping people, really. And that came across very strongly in all of the interviews when people talked about their work being meaningful. I think the other thing about meaningfulness is that it isn't always a pleasant experience finding your work meaningful. And that might seem a little bit paradoxical.
Oh, yes.
But if we talk about other attitudes towards work, like job satisfaction or engagement, we tend to think of that in purely positive terms.
Mm.
But actually, when you're doing work that you find meaningful, it's often the case that you're doing something quite challenging that stretches you.
Right.
And so people wouldn't necessarily find that an easy experience. So the clergy, for example, talked about going in and helping families at a time when they've been bereaved.
Mm.
And obviously that can be very harrowing work to do. But those were the times that they found the most meaningful because they could see that what they did really mattered.
Yes, well, that makes sense because I do some work as a counsellor, and you know, go and see mums as a breastfeeding counsellor. So see mums in the very, very early days after birth, and it's hard sometimes because if breastfeeding is not going well, and the hormones are all over the place, and the mums are in a very vulnerable place, and that work is incredibly meaningful for me, but it also can be very upsetting in some ways because I can't magic things better, and if I could I would, but I can see, particularly for clergymen, and I imagine for nurses as well, perhaps if you're supporting patients or a patient's family through very serious illness or bereavement, that could be a really tough time.
Yes, I think we had people who were quite upset talking to us in the interviews about the times when they found their work meaningful. These weren't always easy experiences to go through, but clearly very important in terms of how people feel about their work. And I think the other thing that really struck us about the times people talked about their work being meaningful was it was a very, very personal thing. I mean, people tended to talk about their families, their friends, their hobbies, their life outside work when they talked about what it was about work that was meaningful. And you wouldn't really find that if you were to ask somebody whether they were satisfied with their job, for example. They would just talk about their job. But when you talk to people about meaningfulness, it's much more profound. It links across all of the domains of life. So, for example, we had people talking about their families. We had one woman who'd set up a business as a baker, and she talked about it being meaningful because she would have made her grandfather, who was also a baker, very proud of her. And it was for that reason she found it very meaningful. We had one woman soldier who was talking about times when she found her work to be meaningful, and she told us about the dining out ceremony that was held to mark the end of her career in service, and her family being there and listening to all the stories that her colleagues were telling about the things that she'd done and her achievements and her bravery, and that made her feel that yes, this has all been very meaningful to me. So it's a very personal thing. It's not just about work when you find your work meaningful. It's about who you are as a person as well.
And that makes sense because, you know, I do definitely find my work very meaningful, and it isn't just about the work that I do and how I help women, but it is, you know, I feel very emotionally connected to the work that I do. Not that I'm crying over clients or anything, but it's about being me with those people, and it has a very, you know, I know that sometimes I can have a very profound impact on people, and I think if I didn't have that, I wouldn't enjoy my work. So I guess that comes back to, you know, if your work's not meaningful, are there ways that you can make it more meaningful, or that you can, you know, connect in with some of this kind of personal connection that you're talking about?
Well, there's a lot certainly that employers can do to make to help create an environment where people are more likely to find meaning. But I think looking at it from the individual perspective, and you know, what can you do as an employee to help try and find more meaningfulness in your work? I think one of the key things is to try and think through who benefits from your work. You know, why are you bothering to do this?
Right.
So when I think about my work, for example, I'm hoping that, you know, my students benefit from the teaching. I'm hoping that perhaps some of the research I do is going to be benefiting the thinking that goes on in organisations about how to manage people. So you try and look for things that your work contributes to society. And I think just about any job contributes something. We talked to a lot of people who worked as street sweepers, for example, and they talked a lot about their work being meaningful because they were contributing to a clean environment, you know, just clean streets, but also to contributing to recycling in the longer term. So looking ahead to future generations and thinking, well, actually, my granddaughter is going to be living in a better world because of the job that I do, because of me collecting all the recycling, these new products are being made from that, and that there's less going to landfill. And so I think just about any job, you should be able to see various things that you do that help other people and contribute to them. And I think perhaps as much as possible, trying to come into contact with people who benefit from your work. So whether it's clients or customers or other people working in your organisation can really help a lot. And I realise that not every job enables people to do that. But where you are able to have some direct contact with people who benefit, that can be very rewarding in terms of the meaningfulness of work, even if it's just maybe imagining your future generations, which our street sweepers that we talked about a lot, these future generations that they imagined and how they would benefit from their work. So that's one thing. And I think the other thing is to try and look at the work that you do and see what opportunities there are for improving your work. Some jobs offer quite a lot of discretion and freedom in terms of what you do, and others not so much. Mm. I know when I worked as a secretary, I had a lot less freedom than I do now working as an academic. But there are often still things that you can do to perhaps make your job more meaningful within the constraints that you've got.
Yes, I love that idea of thinking about who benefits, so that even if you feel like your job is pretty mundane and quite boring, if you think about who benefits, and perhaps not the immediate beneficiaries, but perhaps the wider beneficiaries as well, that can be quite powerful, can't it?
It can be. And I think the key thing, as we said earlier, is that meaningfulness isn't something that you experience all the time in relation to your work. It's an episodic thing. And so I don't think any of us needs to be aiming for constant level of meaningfulness. That might be a little bit overwhelming even. So it just needs to be maybe small changes and small acts that you do that help other people. And it could be helping your colleagues even. It needn't necessarily be helping your clients or your customers. It can be working more closely with your colleagues and trying to avoid the sense of isolation that people sometimes get. Mm. In their work. Mm. Connecting with your colleagues can also be a powerful source of meaningfulness.
That reminds me of a story. I was coaching a client, a network analyst in a junior network analyst in a law firm, two or three years ago actually, and one of his tasks, he was supposed to go around all the meeting rooms every Monday to make sure everything was set up correctly, you know, that things hadn't been moved from one room to another, and that it had all the relevant, you know, video technology in there and the remote controls were in place and that they had the forms laid out for the clients to use for the remote access. And he hated doing this and he really found it quite dull and boring, and so he didn't do it very often. And then of course something went wrong and all hell broke out and it was his fault and he got blamed. So when I was working with him, coaching him on this, and I said, well who benefits from you doing this work, and who benefits from them being able to use the rooms more? And suddenly he was so fired up. I thought, oh my God, I never thought of it like that before. And from what I understand, from there on in, he was 100% getting everything sorted out on the Monday morning when he was supposed to. But just by thinking about who else benefits from doing this, what to him was rather mundane work, but it actually was very important for the firm, for its reputation, for the clients.
Well, I think that's a fantastic example, actually, of how you can think through and reflect on what you do and see, well, actually, it does make a difference. And sometimes when we're caught up in the day to day of our work, it can be difficult to stand back and reflect on the meaningfulness of what we're doing. I know certainly the people we talk to had never really thought about whether their work was meaningful or not before. They just sort of did it. And so the opportunity for them in the interviews to stop and reflect on, well, what am I doing? Who does benefit? Is it meaningful? Was actually, it just in and of itself was a very useful exercise. And it sounds as though that's exactly what you did with your particular client. So you enabled him to find that meaningfulness in his work.
Absolutely. And in the research that you did, what patterns or what differences did you notice between men and women, or was it kind of gender neutral in terms of what they found meaningful or what the characteristics were?
Well, we weren't specifically looking for differences between men and women in our study, although we did end up with a sample where we had a sort of, so for example, the retail workers were almost all women, the stonemasons were almost all men. So we did have particular groups that had a particular gender bias.
Right.
But I think that one of the things that struck me with talking to everybody, both men and women, was that there did seem to be actually very little difference across the genders in terms of what was meaningful. And I think I'd been expecting that we would find that there was a difference. So I was expecting perhaps that women would be much more orientated towards doing things for other people, that it would be much more about the community and the collegiality and the contribution for women, and maybe it would be more about personal achievement for the men. But that was really blown out of the water by what people said to us. In all cases, it was about contribution, it was about connection. And we had big burly refuse collectors talking to us about times they found their work meaningful, and one of them said, Well, actually, it really hit me how meaningful my work was when, you know, this woman came up who I didn't know, and she gave me a great big hug and told me what a fantastic job I was doing. And so it was about that human connection, both for men and for women. And I think that that was quite interesting, because I think we tend to think of men as you know, being sort of more self-contained, perhaps quite quite macho in their orientation towards work. But that once you talk about meaningfulness and what really matters, it was very interesting to see this other side coming out.
And I guess, you know, we're all human, and so we all need that connection, and we all need to understand or to feel that what we're doing is worthwhile. And I guess that's where employers are going to get a much, and you mentioned earlier that there was a kind of like a pride in what you're doing, that you don't get that meaningfulness if you're only doing the job half-hearted. So I guess from the employer's point of view, it's in their best interest to enable employees to get meaningfulness in their work, because then they're going to do a better job.
Well, that's absolutely right. It's obviously much better for employees if they do find their work meaningful. Unfortunately, I think what we tended to find in our research was that people tend to find meaningfulness for themselves in the work that they do.
Right.
But that if they found their work meaningless at those times, it was actually pretty much consistently things that the employer was doing wrong that caused them to feel that there's just no point in this. So that was a very interesting difference, I think, that we found. And that very much resonates with some other research that's been done on the topic as well. Meaningfulness, this quest for meaning, is very much an innate human characteristic. We look for the meaning in what we do almost sort of unconsciously. Mm. Whereas when people do things to us that we don't like, that cause us to feel negative, we do then question whether there's any point to what we're doing. We had lots and lots of examples from the people we talked to about things that their line manager or their organisation had done that really did make them question, well, I don't know why I'm bothering to do this.
So from that then, what could we, you know, for those of us who are listening, who are managers, who are leaders, or perhaps are running a small business, what are the lessons that we can learn from that? What can we do to help our employees find meaning in their work?
Well, one of the things we've talked about in the research that we've done is creating a meaningfulness ecosystem. So an environment where organisations create a setting where employees can find this meaningfulness for themselves. I think if you try to tell people what they should find meaningful about their work, that's not going to work very well, and can lead to quite negative results, because as we said earlier, what's meaningful to us is very subjective.
Yeah.
And so if you try to impose that onto people, they're likely to put up barriers and say, well, actually, that I don't find that very meaningful, that doesn't resonate with me at all. But creating an environment where people have that ability to find meaningfulness is very important, and there are various things that organizations can do to foster that. So, for example, at the organisational level, making it clear that the organisation has a set of values that are not just rhetoric, they're actually put in practice. And I think we've all worked for organisations where there's a lot of talk about values, but actually that's not really what it's like on the ground day to day. So having a clear set of values that are taken seriously and that show how the organisation contributes to what's going on around it, to the local community, to the wider community, to the environment, to, you know, human betterment, really. So at the organisational level, really tapping into this sense that, well, the whole organisation is here to make the world a better place in some way. And just about every organisation should be able to articulate some sense of what they do to improve people's lives. So I think there's things that can be done at the organisational level. And I think at the level of the individual and the job that they're doing, I think it's very much giving people as much autonomy as possible to really craft their jobs in such a way that they are able to make choices about where to direct their energies, making sure that they're able to do those aspects of their job that they do find meaningful. They're not overwhelmed with spreadsheets. One of the academics we spoke to talked about having to produce these endless spreadsheets that were dropped into a black hole somewhere. He never knew quite what happened to them, but he was constantly being asked to produce them. And I think that the less of that that people do, and the more of the things that they do find meaningful, the connection with other people, the sense of contribution is important. And I think the other thing that's very, very significant for meaningfulness is the organisational culture. So where you've got a culture where people are perhaps inauthentic, people don't connect with other people, people get very isolated, you're not going to have this sense of an interactional meaningfulness, which is very important for people. Connecting with your colleagues and feeling that you're working together as a team towards an important purpose really does come across as very important for people to find their work meaningful. And so where you've got negative connections between people, that can be very harmful. So there are things that the organisation can do around that as well.
And that all kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because that's all fitting into what we'd expect a good employer to do to increase employee engagement, to increase employee improvement. So, you know, creating that meaningfulness ecosystem makes such good sense. But I'm guessing there are plenty of organisations out there that don't do that in a very effective way.
Well, I think unfortunately that is the case. And you're absolutely right when you talk about engagement. There's been some research which shows that meaningfulness is a key driver of engagement. If you find your work meaningful, you're much more likely to be engaged. But as you say, if employees feel that they're being taken for granted, they're not being listened to, they're being treated unfairly, their views are not taken seriously, people very quickly withdraw and don't want to contribute, and they don't feel that it's a safe environment for them to work in, not a psychologically safe environment. So people can't find their work meaningful under those conditions.
No. And I'm just thinking, while you're talking about work needing to be meaningful and making it clear how your organisation contributes to the wider community, that's something employers could perhaps do more of when they're doing job advertisements, so that people can see straight away how they might be contributing by joining this particular team or this particular function or this organisation.
Well, I think that's a really good idea. Yes, employers could do a lot more of that. There's a lot of talk these days about employer branding and the image that the employer has that they're trying to convey to people who work there and also to applicants. And as you say, the more that they can show the value that the organisation brings to the outside world, to the community, the more employees will be able to sense that their work is going to be meaningful. But I do think it's very important, as we said earlier, that this is authentic, because I think employees are very savvy people. They can very quickly spot if there's a big gap between the rhetoric and the reality, and they will adopt certain strategies to cope with that. And so they might end up, well, acting as though they find things meaningful if that's what seems to be required, rather than genuinely finding it meaningful. And some of the other research that we've done recently has shown that that can be quite harmful for people if you're in an environment where you feel you've got to pretend, oh, yes, we've got these values around trust and fairness and authenticity. And yes, I'm going to pretend that I believe those are taken seriously here. Then people can have very negative psychological symptoms as a result, the stress and depression, unhappiness and so on.
And I guess there's, you know, we've all, like you mentioned earlier, that we've all seen or heard of organisations that have one set of values, but those values aren't lived up to. And so that can really have quite an impact on the authenticity of the organisation. I mean, what's the point of having values in a mission statement if you're not actually living that through everything that you do?
Well, exactly. And it's almost worse, in fact, I think it is worse than not having a statement in the first place, because then at least the people are then free to make up their own mind about what matters and what's taken seriously. And some of the most successful organisations actually don't necessarily have a clear value statement as such, but they have a way of working where it's taken for granted that certain values do matter.
Yes, and even if they don't have a value statement, there will be values within the organisation, within its culture, that, you know, probably if you interviewed all those employees at that place, they'd be able to say, oh yes, this organisation is very clear that this is important or that this is important. So even if they don't have that statement, your values are there regardless of whether or not you've got them printed up on a pretty piece of paper.
Absolutely, yes. And I think this is where role modelling from the senior management team becomes so important. And for a different project that I'm working on at the moment, which has a slightly different focus on, which is around purposeful leadership, it's very clear that employees look to their senior management team to set an example and to be role models. And that whatever the talk about values, if the senior team aren't living those values, then employees know that they don't really matter.
Yes, absolutely. So for individuals then, I guess it's not good for us if we're doing work that, you know, obviously no job can be meaningful all the time. But if we're doing work that we feel is meaningless all the time, then I'm guessing that's not actually very healthy, you know, for our mental state and how we feel about things.
It isn't. No, it's definitely not good for us to be doing work that's meaningless. If you think about the amount of time that we spend working, if you're spending a good chunk of your life working in a job, in an environment that doesn't give you any sense of meaning, as you say, the psychological consequences can really be quite serious. That said, obviously, we have different domains in our life. And I know you're particularly interested in work-life balance. And it may be that people can compensate across those different life domains. And so, for example, if we're at a particular phase in our life where your children are small, or you're caring for elderly relatives, you might well then compromise about where you work for a few years. But then perhaps you would have the opportunity, if you look across the whole of your life course, to in a few years' time to go and do something that you do find more meaningful. So I think people are quite resilient and they're adaptable, and sometimes we're willing to trade off the short term against, you know, the long term, knowing that we can perhaps go back to something we find more meaningful later on.
Yes, and I guess that comes back to the, you know, who does it benefit? So even if you are doing work that you don't find enjoyable, or it feels mundane, or it's not intellectually stimulating, but if you're doing it so that you can be close to school, for example, to do the school pickups, or if you're doing it to kind of keep your career going for a few years without actually going up the career ladder, then you can kind of sort of justify that compromise, if you like, or that trade-off. By thinking about what the longer term benefits will be.
Exactly, yes. I think you've hit the nail on the head. And I think a lot of us who've had caring responsibilities at different points in our lives, we're happy to have a job that is perhaps slightly less meaningful to us if it means that we're able to care for our families, we're able to be there. And so we balance these things across all the domains of our life, and across the course of our lifespan as well. It's not a static thing, it's a fluid situation as we move through life and different circumstances and different jobs, a different family and so on. And so, yes, I think if somebody's in a job at the moment that they don't necessarily find meaningful, but they're able to see some benefits from being in that job, it's worth staying there and perhaps thinking, well, in my next job move, when I've maybe got a bit more time, a bit more flexibility, then I'll be able to make up for this.
And can people balance out the perhaps lack of meaningfulness in their work by perhaps doing something in their community, by maybe volunteering at a charity or helping out at Brownies? Is that a way that they can kind of compensate if work itself is not meaningful?
Yes, absolutely. I think that we found quite a few examples of people who talked about work they were doing, volunteering work that they were doing outside their paid employment, that did bring that sense of meaningfulness to them, and that were very important to people. And I think that it helps when you, in terms of looking at the meaningfulness of your life as a whole, it doesn't help with the actual meaningfulness of your paid work. But you looked at from the perspective of the individual, if you think of your life as being made up of these different domains, as you say, you can compensate across those domains. And there were, yes, we had examples. I remember talking to one retail assistant who didn't really find her work particularly meaningful, but she was very interested in animals and volunteered to do work with animals in her spare time. And she found that very, very meaningful.
And was that enough for her to have, you know, maybe the shop assistant work not meaningful, but the voluntary work with the animals as being very meaningful? Was that enough for her to kind of feel okay generally?
I think talking to her, it was clear that it was enough, but at the same time, there was a sense of disappointment that came across in her interview that really she would have preferred it if her job could have been more meaningful as well. But yes, we do compensate. I think we have to be pragmatic. And yes, we can make these compensations. But I think if we're leading a life that we find has no meaningfulness in any sphere, I think that's very, very detrimental to us as human beings.
Yeah, that's not going to be good for your mental health, is it, at all?
No, absolutely not. No, very, very harmful, in fact.
Yeah. I'm finding this conversation absolutely fascinating, Katie. I mean, did you imagine when you, when you first did your degree in languages that this is the sort of work that you'd end up doing?
No, never. No, it never even occurred to me. So, yes, life takes a curious turn at times, doesn't it? So it's funny how things work out.
Yeah.
No, wasn't planned at all, no.
Gosh, yeah, it's quite a change in direction. But then so many people end up doing studying one topic or training, as a secretary or as an architect or a lawyer or whatever, and then ending up in something completely different. I find it fascinating how people's lives change so that they find the meaningfulness that's important to them.
Absolutely. I think it's very common. And I think as we look to the younger generations, I think it's going to become increasingly common. We're all going to have to be working for much longer. Retirement will be put off and people will have multiple careers over the course of their life. It's very much going to become the norm. And so one of my colleagues, Linda Grattan, has written a book called The 100-Year Life, and she's talked about the likely trend is that rather than going through education and then stopping and then going to work and stopping and then retiring, we're all going to be juggling across those different areas of life as we go through. So you might well go back into education again when you're in your middle years to retrain for something else and then go into a new career then, rather than being finished with formal education in your early 20s.
Yes.
So yes, we life does take unexpected turns, and I think that's in a way what makes it interesting.
Yeah, and I guess for all of us, work has changed so much over the past sort of 20, 50 years, the types of work that we do with the advance of technology. And people tend not to stay in, I remember what my grandparents or my parents, when they were working, they tended to stay with the same company for years and years and years. Whereas I think, the teenagers who are coming through school and going through university now, that's not going to be the career path they can expect to have. So they'll be finding their meaning in their work in different ways. I'm guessing it's going to change quite a bit for them.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I think there's going to be significant changes for the younger generation. That, as you say, if you're doing different jobs through the course of your life, you may well be finding meaningfulness in different areas of your work. And I think even if we think of ourselves, I certainly sort of reflect back over my career, I think I probably find areas of my work meaningful now that perhaps weren't quite so meaningful to me earlier on, where I had slightly different priorities. And so I think as individuals, it's important to be alert to what matters to us today, which might not be the same as what mattered to us a few years ago. And so being aware of that change and aware of the fact that what's meaningful to us is in a state of flux is important, because then we can make sure that we try and align what we do with what matters to us today, who we are today, rather than who we were a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that kind of brings to mind for me as well, the fact that just because you find filling in, making spreadsheets look nice and neat and pretty, if you find that meaningful, it doesn't mean to say that the person doing the exact same job next to you finds it meaningful themselves, because it is so individual and does change as life goes on.
Yes, exactly. It's in a constant state of flux, and it varies across individuals. So yes, absolutely. It's very subjective. And I think taking a little bit of time to think through yourself what really matters to you, what is meaningful to you, is time well spent, because it means you can start to, even if you're not able to make changes straight away, it'll give you a sense of direction and purpose for where you want to focus in the future, and it gives you something that you can work towards.
Yes, definitely. Well, Katie, it's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you today. Thank you so much for sharing your insights on and what makes work meaningful and what makes work not meaningful. And, you know, it's very interesting to explore that. And I find it fascinating to hear, you know, particularly with the road sweepers, because I think, you know, if you can find meaningfulness in what you're doing and understanding how it benefits others, even though it might be quite repetitive work, I think that's a really, you know, it's a fabulous thing to be able to do, doesn't it? Because it means you're just going to feel so much better about going to work in the morning.
Absolutely, yes, it does mean that. I think that doesn't mean we should be, you know, looking for false consciousness, the sense that, you know, we're trying to find something meaningful which just isn't meaningful. But if it's genuine and authentic and it really does resonate with us, then absolutely, I think that's really important for all of us. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed for asking me to talk to you today, Sherry. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Katie. It's been absolutely fascinating. So for those of you who are listening, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. If you want to post some comments about it, then please pop over into the Confident Mother Facebook group. Or if you're on Twitter, you can tag me at SherryRB and let me know what you thought of this conversation. I found it absolutely fascinating. And as with all of the interviews that I run and all the online classes that I do, you know, one last question for you. You know, what is the action that you will take as a result of this session? And for you, that might be about taking 5 minutes or 10 minutes to think about what really matters to you about work, what's important to you. Or perhaps if you're feeling like your work isn't as meaningful as you'd like it to be, you know, perhaps to stop and ask yourself, well, who does this work benefit? How does this contribute? But take action. That's what I always encourage you to do. And thank you very much for listening. This is Sherry Bevan, and I've been talking to Katie Bailey today, Professor of Management at the University of Sussex. Thank you for listening.